Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're live out here at beautiful First Horizon Park ahead of the Sounds matchup with the Gwinnett Stripers tonight, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Happy 615 day to everybody. And joining us now is Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Normally, Elliot joins us at 1 o'clock. He had a schedule conflict at 1 o'clock, so he's joining us now at 11:30. First of all, Elliot, heard you had a heck of a night in Vegas, so I'm glad to see that you have lived to tell us the tale of Vegas.
Yeah, it was a good night. I have to say this, even though the game ended and we were off the air at about 11 p.m. Vegas time, I had a 7:15 a.m. flight out. Ooh. And there wasn't a lot of sleep, if any.
So you didn't find yourself on top of a hotel with the mattress?
No.
With a tiger in your bathroom?
Exactly, tiger in your bathroom.
Missing a front tooth.
I think, guys, those days are out. We gave it a good run. Let's just say that. We gave it a good run, yes.
Elliot Friedman is with us. And, hey, sleep is for the weak. But as the regular season is behind us, or at least the 2022-23 season is behind us, what can Predators fans look forward to in these next couple of weeks ahead of the NHL draft?
Well, I think you're going to start hearing a lot of conversations picking up. I do think there's a lot of talk out there. I would think by now a lot of other teams, know what the Predators are kind of thinking about. They're calling around. For one thing, like, Barry's a new GM, so there's going to be a lot of people calling him, just saying, they'll be offering their congratulations, and then the Sharks will be swimming in the water. What do you want to do? What are you thinking about? What's going on with your roster? And that's kind of going on everywhere now. Like, the one thing about this is that the business starts quick. So 24 hours after this, or 48 hours after the Stanley Cup is awarded, the teams have to decide if they're going to take any players to arbitration. So that deadline is this afternoon, and it's going to be busy. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on, and I think when we get into Nashville for the draft, there's going to be some people trying to do some big things. Whether or not they get it done is another thing, but I think they're going to be trying.
Now, Elliot, let me ask you this first. The draft is coming up. I get to the Vegas thing in a minute. The draft is coming up. Do you expect to see many moves, many trades during the draft period?
I do. I think it's a busy time. I think, there's not going to be a lot of cap room. So, like, if you've taken a look at Columbus, they've already made two trades. And one of the things that these teams are looking at is if you're trying to move money, there's a lot of teams that want to move money, and there's not a lot of teams, Derek, that can take it. Mm-hmm. So they're like, L.A. got into that Columbus-Philly trade because they needed to clear a room, and they said, we're going to be aggressive to do it. So there you go. I think, yes, there's going to be a lot of attempting to make big moves. I don't have any doubt about that.
Now, what is the perception of the Vegas Knights in the organization? Because, I guess I'm just looking at it from a fan base standpoint where, you have teams that have been in this league, years and years. Obviously, looking at what the Nashville Predators are when they came in the league, and it was much different as far as them being an expansion team. But you have the Vegas Knights, who's only been in the league, 6 years now? And they've already won their Stanley Cup. But how does the league or individuals, you believe, view how this whole process went with them?
Derek, I'll be honest with you. Most people I know hate it. they really do hate it. I remember they made the Stanley Cup final in their first season. They lost to Washington. And I remember back then people saying it's so embarrassing for the NHL that an expansion team would make the Stanley Cup final. And, I'll be honest, I don't think like that. If you're put into a league, your job is to win. And your fans want you to win, and that's it. And their owner, when he got the team, he predicted, we're going to win the Stanley Cup within 6 years. Now, I don't know if he honestly believed it, but he turned out to be right. And I think that brash and bold nature has gone through that entire organization. And they've made big moves. Like, one of the things you talked about there, Derek, I should have mentioned this before, is that, you know, Vegas winning, what's it going to do? And I think one of the things about Vegas winning is they made a lot of tough decisions, and they made a lot of bold moves. Like, I've told this story before. When they signed Alex Pietrangelo as a free agent 2 years ago, like, it kind of, like, the, I think the free agent day was a Monday. And before the weekend, everybody knew there was a good chance Pietrangelo was going to end up there. And I've never had a crazier weekend of, like, players and agents just texting me, like, what's Vegas going to do to make this fit? And because people knew that Vegas would make it fit. Whatever they had to do, they would make it work. And, you know, sometimes that's criticism because, you know, people's lives get affected. But in the world of sports, and Derek, you played in the ultimate tough league for player moves, the NFL. You know, that's business. That's sports. It happens sometimes. But, like, the one thing I really am curious about here is if people look at the bold way that Vegas went about their business, said, if that's a player we want, we're going to get them, and we're going to find a way to get them on their roster. I wonder if we're going to see more of that happen here. Like, I think it's a great thing for the league. I really do. If you look at Vegas now, when the NHL went in there, there were a lot of people, and I'm one of them, we weren't sure if it was going to work. Like, were they going to get a real local fan base, or is it just going to be casinos throwing tickets at their high rollers saying, oh, you're playing $500 a blackjack hand? Here's a couple of Golden Knights tickets. And they have a real solid fan base. It's a real loud building. And look, they got in first. The NFL's now there. Major League Baseball's trying to get there. And we know the NBA is going to go there someday. So, I mean, that's a success story. And I have no problem with it. But I admit there's a lot of people who do.
Talking to Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts. Elliot, real quick before we get into a couple other specific things from Nashville's angle, you were talking about this, I think, while smoking the cigar, walking down the strip, but you were on the podcast, you were talking about Peter Laviolette getting the edge and the nod over John Hines. But it sounds like you feel like they really did take their time and consider both guys before they settled on Peter Laviolette.
Absolutely, they did. That was a long decision, and Hines absolutely got a long look there because of his relationship with Drury. You know, one of the things that happened there was Drury and the previous coach, Gerard Gallant, they had a tough relationship at the end, including a bit of a confrontation after one of the playoff games against New Jersey. And I you know, Drury's under a lot of pressure there. Yeah, that owner really wants to stand another Stanley Cup. And, you know, he knows he has to get this one right. And, you know, I think he took a long look at Hines. They know each other, that he knew they'd get along. And ultimately, he chose Laviolette. And I understood that decision. I mean, you guys know Laviolette. He's the ultimate initial impact guy. You know, yep. You look at his history going into Islanders, going into Carolina, going into Philly, going into Nashville. He gets in there and those teams get a bump. They get a bump. He, whatever he does, and he got a 3-year contract, and I think that's a perfect term for him because he's going to go in there and he's going to rile up those guys. And that's what he does.
Do you have any sense of a couple of key restricted free agents, the Predators, I would guess would be very interested in re-signing? Alex Carrier, the defenseman, and obviously Cody Glass would be the other guy. Any feeling on if they're making any progress there?
Not yet at this point in time. Now that my Stanley Cup work is over, I'm going to start to turn my attention towards that. You know, the Alex Carrier one, that one will be interesting to me in the sense that I want to see what kind of term everybody goes for here. The Predators have always been about getting as much term as they can, and we'll see if that changes at all from Poile to Trotz. You know, the thing about Carrier is he's not a huge point guy, but he's a really good player. And those kinds of defensemen, like, you can go through the NHL and see what those kinds of defensemen get paid. It's pretty consistent. I think with him, it's probably just about what kind of term they would want. Like, Nashville really likes that player, and I don't see a huge problem there. The Cody Glass one for me is interesting. Number one, I think he knows he's very appreciative of the Predators. He's very thankful what they've done for him. So that's number one. But number two, he's just coming off really his first strong season. Some good centers in this league get paid, and they get paid big. So I'm going to be really interested to see what happens here, because if Glass continues on this trajectory, his numbers are only going to go up. So my curiosity for him is, do he and his representatives say, we take short and bet we'll be even better? Or does he say, look, I found a home here, I like it here, and I'm going to go for the term because of, A, my own injuries, and if you're the Predators, you always want term in these situations.
Interesting point. Let's tie it into some of these guys. To me, the free agent market, you look at it, it's not overly exciting. There's some key guys out there, but what's really interesting to me is all of the guys who have 1 year left on their deals, and a lot of teams that are probably either they've been told by the player, I'm not signing here next, like a Alex DeBrincat or a Pierre-Luc Dubois, or other teams that are kind of up in a crunch and need to move money. Like the Jets seem to want to shake things up. There's several teams like that. I'm really intrigued about guys like that. So let me start with Dubois. Do you think it is clearly Montreal, or do you think other teams that are looking for a number one center? Let's just say Barry Trotz wanted to go. He's got a lot of assets and says, look, man, I need a number one center. I want to throw my hat into the ring here. Like, for example, do you think he's interested in other teams, or do we think it's Montreal until it's not?
I think Montreal is the favorite, but I think that there's a dance that's going on here. Number one, if you're the Canadians and you really think you're going to get them, you're not giving up a lot to get them. That's number one. And number two is, Dubois wants to be in the 8x9 range. Are you comfortable paying that? Nashville had a couple of big deals, Johansson and Duchesne, that they've tried. Like, at times, those guys have been very good, but at times, Nashville's tried to move those contracts. So I think it's going to be interesting to see about how the Predators are going to feel about an 8x9-ish contract. There's a little bit of flexibility there for Dubois. Would I think Barry Trotz would check? Absolutely. He's not doing his job if he doesn't. But I think Montreal is the favorite. And one thing I've said, I think there are some other teams you consider, like the Rangers, but I'm wondering about L.A. That's a team I'm really curious about for L.A., and so I don't know if Nashville's a favorite there. I've heard DeBrincat likes the idea of Nashville.
That was the other one I was going to ask you about, because DeBrincat supposedly wants to be in this area. I think I heard you say he likes this sort of section of the continent, so to speak.
Yes.
But he's a winger, right?
Yes.
He's maybe not as attractive.
He's not a center.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know if he fits you guys as well as you guys are already spending a lot of money on your wings, and nobody's complaining about that. Like, you have Forsberg there, right? So nobody's complaining about it. These are good players. But I don't know if you want to commit. Like, he's going to cost you $8 to $9 million a year. Do you guys want to spend that on another winger?
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, appreciate you as always. We'll chat next week, maybe after another Vegas trip if it went so well the first time.
Well, hey, Nash Vegas to Las Vegas. Okay, so we're going to put on a pretty good show for you here, Elliot, when the draft comes around.
Hey. You know who you're talking to. I am not complaining about Nashville. Like, you guys, I know, there's some places I know I'm going where if you don't have a good time, you're a loser. And Vegas is one, and Nashville's another.
Elliot, you're the best. We'll chat with you next week. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Elliot. We will react to what Elliot had to say coming up next. And, of course, your phone calls and your texts as well, 615-737-1025. And we had such a great chat with Elliot, so let's go ahead and give something away. Be caller 3 right now to win a pair of tickets to see Nashville Symphony's Black Panther this Friday at the Skirmerhorn Symphony Center. That is caller 3 to see Black Panther this Friday. Good luck with that. Caroline Willie-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.